Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
The glory of the last days. Haggai 2:9, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Joel 2:23, be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. You may be seated. Paul writing to Timothy, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The promises of God are to a certain group of people. These promises are to those that are overcomers. These promises are to those that believe. And if we think that God is in the business of creating a utopia in this world with a congregation of people that are unbelievers, we are sadly mistaken. God's plan is to have a church. God's plan is to have a bride. God is not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of people, a group of people, people that have made him their Lord. The Bible said in James, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? We're living in a society that's not trying to work out their problems. They're simply trying to get their way. The Republicans do not have the answer. The Democrats do not have the answer, because they seek to find the answer outside of God. And there is no answer outside of God. The Apostle Paul directs our attention to that paradigm of thought when he said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, in this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of men most miserable. He didn't say if we don't have hope in Christ. He said, if our hope is in Christ making this world a utopia, he said, we are a miserable, miserable people. But the Christ that I serve has given us promises, amazing promises, great and glorious promises, indisputable promises. And if we will say yea to God's promises, they will become amen. They will become finished in our life. Jesus Christ declared in the last writings of the Apostle John in Revelation 22 and 13, I am Alpha. Oh, that would have been great, but not nearly enough. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He declared to be the author and the finisher. He didn't only start it, but praise God, he will finish it. When we talk about Omega, it's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is often used to denote the last, the end, or the ultimate limit of a set, in contrast to Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. He is Alpha, but he's also the Omega. And we're coming down to the end of the age. The end of the age. But God promises us that in the last days, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than it's ever been. My God is not anticlimactic. He does not begin something that he cannot finish. And when we see the horrific events that we saw this past week, if our hope is in this world or only in Christ in this world, we will be miserable. But if we will understand that Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, that we are his people, that we, praise God, are a set-apart people, we are church of the living God, we will realize that God has our interest at heart. And God has our safety in his hand. And God has our future in his dominion. He is our Alpha and our Omega. He is the God that declared, according to Isaiah 46 and 10, the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that were not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. We're talking about a God that knows the end from the beginning. And he has promised us that I am going to have a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Oh, why are you sad? He asked the men on the Emmaus Road. It was because their hope was in Christ in this world. Why are you so sad in your hearts? But after he began to talk to them from the scripture and reveal who he was, and their eyes were open, they said, did not our heart burn within us? They got excited about who they were, where they were, because the God that they were walking with was very well in control. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that my God is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing. But his promises are not just to the world. His promises are to the church. And if we think vaguely that it's just going to happen to every man, woman, boy, and girl that lives on this planet, we're absolutely wrong. The truth is that God's promises are very segregated to those that call upon his name. He said, the poor you have with you always. And yet we have declared a war on poverty that has not done one thing to make the poor better off. Because the poor you have with you always. Poverty is a curse of the devil. And if you don't escape the devil, you won't escape the poverty. You'll either be poor in flesh or you'll be poor in spirit. You'll be poor in spiritual things. But my God has got a promise, and that promise is to me. Because I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I belong to him. I am sold out to him. He's not one of some. He is the only one. He is my Alpha. He is my Omega. He is my beginning, my end, my first, and my last. And he knows that. I have no other gods before him. I have no other gods after him. I have no other gods beside him. He is my only God. Him I declare. Him I worship. Him I glorify. I am in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. I'm not looking for a better deal. I'm not going to sell out tomorrow. I'm already sold out once and for all. I live in him. I move in him. I have my being in him, and that Christ lives in me. And in him I move, praise God. I live in him. He lives in me. I live in him. Oh, hallelujah. And so God has given us great, great promises. I love this particular verse that he gives us when he says, in the last days it shall come to pass, saith God. Saith God. Not a preacher, not a denomination, but saith God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. He was inclusive to everybody that wanted to be included. He said, I'm not going to let gender be a fact, sons and daughters. I'm not going to let age be a factor. He said, old and young. God said, I will include you if you want to be included. But you've got to say amen. You've got to declare, yes, Lord, include me. I am following you. Praise God, I'm your huckleberry. I have sold out. I know that you are the only way. I know there's one truth. I know there's one Lord. I know there's one faith. And my hope is in only one thing. It's not in a president. It's not in a political party. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am not amazed. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. We are living in the last days, and perilous times have come. But God has told me that he is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That does not mean that every man, woman, and child is going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It means that his Holy Spirit will move in such a way, and his presence will be so powerful and so demonstrated and demonstrative that anybody that can will. But you got to want to. You've got to have the desire. You've got to seek the face of God. You've got to call. You've got to direct your affection on him. Oh, hallelujah. But he said, I need everybody that will. And I will not disqualify anybody. In this last day harvest, it's going to be an amazing, amazing thing. If you're here today and you say yes, you will not be disqualified. You say, well, I'm a little bit old for that. No, he said, my old men are going to dream dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a little farther down the age scale than somebody sitting down the road from you, does not mean that you have been discounted or counted out. God said, I will include you in my program for the end time. What is that? Old men dreaming dreams. What is that? He's saying this. I will give to you the things that you dreamed of when you were younger and that have not yet come to pass. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in your last days of your life, you can have your greatest dreams and your greatest days. He said, because when old men dream dreams, those are for things that were in their past, that they simply did not happen and it did not come to pass. But now here they are in their old age, and the devil is lying to you and say, well, you've lived your best days. You've had your best experiences, and what you thought life was going to be, it didn't turn out to be. You didn't get what you dreamed for. God said in the last day, there is going to be such an acceleration of my purpose on the earth that old people are going to receive. In that day, the thing that they dreamed about for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. In this same chapter of second chapter of Joel, verse 25, he said, I will restore to you. When God said to old men, you're going to dream dreams, he said, I am going to restore to you. That's the message. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. For old people, let me give you some good news. In the last days of God's church, there is going to be a restoration of things that you used to think about and things you used to hope for, and now you've just about given up. And they are a faded dream. But ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, if you're older, don't give up. We need you to take your place in the last day revival and the end time harvest. We need you to get your dream out and massage it again. We need you to get your dream out and begin to speak about it again and begin to articulate what you thought that God was going to do in your life. Don't give up. He is going to. God is going to do what he said he was going to do, and you always thought he was going to do, and you always hoped he would do. In the last days when God pours out his spirit, old men are going to come out of their rocking chairs. When David the psalmist brought back the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines, and he had difficulty finding out how to carry it, some old men stepped up and whispered in his ear and said, son, you can't carry it on a cart. You got to put it on the staves through the rings. Put it on your shoulders and carry it like that. And the Bible said when they began to carry that ark of God like that, the glory of God began to come back to Israel. And it said the old men in the fields threw down their sickles and wept because they knew that God was coming back to Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I dare some of you old people to throw down your sickle and begin to weep in joy because God is about to do what you thought he was going to do 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. Your day is not over. You need to get your song out and sing it again. You need to get your dance out and dance it again. You need to get your praise out and praise it again. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you're looking for wealth outside of God's kingdom, you won't find it. If you're looking for the power of God outside of God's kingdom, you won't find it. For the promises are not to the world, they're to the church of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, perilous times are going to come so that there will be a great difference between right and wrong, light and darkness, kingdom of God and kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of Satan. There's going to be a great difference. The living God that I serve said in that last days, I'm going to bless my church so much that everybody is going to see the glory that descends on the church. Not the world, but the church. Those that call Jesus their Lord. Those that are not afraid to praise and worship God. We need some old people to come out of their pews and say, in my day, we shouted like this. In my day, we sang like this. In my day, we worshiped like this. In my day, we laid hands on the sick like this, and they got out of their wheelchair. Oh, we need everybody. We need everybody to get involved in what God is going to do in this last day. I know there are perilous times, but perilous times are not the end of the church. Perilous times are the stage that the church of the living God performs on. For we are the only one with the answer. Mr. Trump does not have it. Mr. Obama did not have it. Mr. Biden will not have it. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the church of the living God is the answer for this world. And the only reason why we are the answer is because we are not our own. We're bought with a price, purchased with His blood, filled with His Spirit, anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire. Can you give God some praise in this house tonight? Say, Pastor, is it going to get better? If you're talking about the world, it is a resounding no. But if you're talking about the church, is it a resounding yes? The church is going to get better and bigger and bolder and stronger and powerful and more anointed and more mighty and more supernatural and more filled with love. Hallelujah! To the old, God is going to plunder your past to perform His promise. He's going to go back and restore things that have been lost. That's what He said. I'll restore the years. I'll restore the years. You're going to be excited just like you were when you were a young man or a young woman. Your dream is going to become a reality. You're going to look forward to life again. You're going to love again. You're going to rejoice again. You're going to be happy to get out of bed again. Oh, hallelujah. That's what He said I'm going to do in the last day. And for the young men, He said the young men shall see visions. What are visions? Things that have not yet come to pass and things that have not yet been. Young men, God said I'm going to bring you visions and they're going to materialize in your life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he keepeth the law, happy is he. God is going to give young men visions. We have to be very careful that we work together as an army. There have to be infantry and there have to be generals. There have to be men and women that have been through wars before. And there have to be young men and women that have never ever yet been to battle. But we all come together. And so the old men are there with their dreams, but the young men now have new vision and said, let's try it this way. We've never done it that way before, but the only thing that matters is that God is exalted, that Jesus is Lord, and sinners are saved. Let's try it. Let's become all things to all men, that all might know the joy of the Lord, the glory of God, the power of God. We must have a revival. And the good news is that God has promised us that in the last days there will be a harvest. There will be a revival. It's not going to be a dead church. It's not going to be a sick church. It's not going to be a weak church. It's going to be a mighty army with banners. The Bible said, in the last days, saith God, I will do exploits. This is the day we live in. The devil wants to draw your eyes away from the kingdom of God, that you will view the disasters that are on our television every week now. But young men, you shall put your vision on not only Jesus Christ, but on His promise and what He has told you to do. Jesus Christ sends young men and young women out into this world with vision to raise up an army of believers. I don't know what God's called you to do. He might have called you to be a politician or a doctor or a banker or a lawyer or a plumber. I don't know what He's done, but that's secondary to the vision that you should be baptized with, because all of that is secondary and temporal, but the call of God and the vision of God is eternal and permanent, and God has called you to be a general in the army of the Lord. We need young men, young women that are sold out and say, I've got a vision. What do you see? I don't see young people committing suicide in an epidemic fashion. What I see is young people receiving God by the thousands, by the millions, by the hundreds of thousands around the world. I see me leading people in worship. What do you see, young men and young women? Do you see yourself leading people in worship, leading people to Christ, building the kingdom of God, expanding the kingdom of God? Do you see yourself on a platform that you yourself could not build, but God will put you there, and suddenly the holy anointing of God will be on you, and you will be a young man or a young woman with vision, and you will begin to let the Holy Spirit flow out of you, and you'll change not only your family and your school, but your city and your nation. This is the greatest day in the history of mankind to be alive. If you've got a vision, praise God. Praise God. And then thirdly, he said, my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. No gender segregation there. It doesn't matter in this last days whether you're male or female. He said, you're going to prophesy. How does that differ from the vision and the dream? Prophecies are about something that has not yet come to pass. Young men, sons and daughters, young women, they're going to begin to prophesy. What does that mean? They're going to speak things that are not even existent, but they're going to be so full of faith that they're going to frame a new world. You can just throw the towel in. Somebody said they threw the towel in and God threw it back and said, wipe your face and get busy. You can throw the towel in, or you can realize that I've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And I'm a son or I'm a daughter, and somebody's going to try to hush my mouth. And somebody's going to say, you don't understand, you're too young. They're going to say, sit down. But if you're a real son or daughter of the kingdom of God, they cannot stop your voice, because you will be prophesying about things that God said that we have never seen manifest in our lifetime, but it's literally going to happen. It is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. We need sons and daughters to prophesy, to call those things that be not as though they were. If we could get just 5 or 10 or 12 young sons and daughters that would really catch the vision of the young men and the dreams of the old men and say, I wasn't there and I'm not that, but what I am is I'm a young female prophetess. I am a young male prophet. And let me tell you what's going to happen in my generation. Don't let me form your generation. Don't let somebody else decide what your generation is. You need to prophesy to your generation and say, this is the way it's going to be. We're not going to be a bunch of dropouts. We're not going to be a bunch of people sitting in our mama's basement. We are going to be an army. We're going to rise up. I now am going to call those things that be not as though they were. Just 5 or 10 or 15. It wouldn't take very many. Just a few young people to stand and say, I'm going to prophesy. This church is going to be filled, not with people that have already been saved, that we've proselytized from another congregation that was in trouble, but this building is going to be full with drug addicts, alcoholics, tattooed veterans of the streets, people that are homosexuals, people that are walking the streets. I'm going to fill it up. Why? Because I am a young prophetess. I am a young prophet. And what I speak, God answers. God's looking for a mouthpiece. God's looking for young people, sons and daughters, that will prophesy. When I was preaching one time in Louisiana at a great camp meeting, an old man came and he said, Brother Steve, would you come and preach for me at my church?
It was so strange he would do that, because I just talked to one of the greatest evangelists I ever knew, a man by the name of A.D. Spears. And Brother A.D. said, I just was at so-and-so's church. He said, I preached for 5 nights, Steve. Not one person got saved. Not one person got baptized. Not one person got the Holy Ghost. He said, five weeks, every night, not one thing happened. He said, if he ever asks you to come and preach, don't go. It's hopeless. And it wasn't many hours, same day. This old man was a sweet old man. He was crippled. I never will forget him. He'd always say, he was crippled in this army. He'd always say, let's raise our hands and praise the Lord. Could never get this hand up. A sweet man. He said, Brother Steve, he said, when could you come preach me a revival? And I said, Brother, I just can't. I'm sorry. Oh, I wish you could. I said, no, I'm going. I called a big church. I was going to a big church in Fort Worth. I said, I'm going to go there next. I just can't. And I stand at a concession stand on that old campground getting something to drink. And when he walked up, the Holy Spirit just smote my heart. Said, that's your next assignment. I said, well, I missed it, God. I said, if he ever asks me again, I'll go. It wasn't 10 minutes the old man came back. I said, Brother Steve, did you change your mind yet? I said, yes, Brother Jacobs, I changed my mind. He said, when can you come? This was like on a Friday. I said, be there Sunday. I'll be there Sunday night. Okay. We were having a great camp meeting. There was a young guy, a young teenager at that camp meeting, that same meeting. And he was from that little town that I was going to go to. And he got gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. And when I walked into that church that was notoriously dead, that my friend that was a great evangelist preached for 5 weeks, Becky started saying, and that one kid, he's a teenager, I don't know, 17 maybe, he just got filled with the Holy Ghost at that camp meet, and he was on fire. Folks, this church, there probably wasn't anybody but three or four, just that kid and two or three more, that wasn't at least 50 or 60 years of age. And it was just as dead as my friend had said. Wasn't about 50 people there. But when Becky began to sing, that young kid got me, started running around the auditorium just praising God. Those old people just watching. I mean, he was just by himself. Just by himself. He began to praise God. And when he finally stopped, and I walked to that pulpit, 5 men that were not saved didn't come to the altar. They just stood up where they was. Their wives had been members of that church fair. They just came with their wives. They stood up. And I said, what do you gentlemen want? They said, we want to get saved. They never made it to the altar, folks. They just lifted their hands and gave their hearts to Jesus. And God baptized all 5 of them with the Holy Ghost right where they were. Next night, it wasn't 50 people. It was 100. And that young kid was just going nuts. The next night, it was bigger. That young kid was back in the prayer room by himself. But now, several were joining him. When I left that meeting 2 weeks later on a Sunday night, just that Sunday night, don't hold me to the exact number, but it was something like 65 people got baptized just on that one night. That place filled beyond capacity. You say, what an evangelist. No, it really wasn't me. The guy that preached before me was better than me. It was that one kid. He'd just been raised up in that church as a little prophet. A 17-year-old boy became the catalyst for that revival that changed that community. What am I talking about? In this last days, friend, you can just talk about all these problems we have. And it is 22-year-old person, I think it was, that shot those people, and 24 young white boys. But I'm going to tell you, for every demon that the devil has got, God's got a bigger angel. If the devil's got one young man that can destroy 30 lives, God's got a kid in this building right now that can save 100. All we're waiting for
is for you to realize the glory of the latter house, the glory of the latter rain, the promise of this day and time. This is our day. I don't care whether you're an old man with snowy hair or whether you're a young kid in ragged blue jeans, 14 years of age, if you're big enough and smart enough to say, I understand, God, use me. You can become a dreamer. You can become a visionary. You can become a prophet, whoever you are, if you really care. Say, what are we going to do? If you're waiting for the White House to stop the shootings, you're waiting in vain. If you're waiting for Congress to come up with an answer, you, my friend, are deluded. It's got to happen in God's house. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. I beg old men to dream again. I beg young men to get a vision. I beg sons and daughters to begin to prophesy to the wind and say, we will not let our world go. We're going to have a revival. Can you give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If we can get the old men to dream again, if we can get the young men to have a vision, if we can get the young people to prophesy and become prophets, the beneficiary will be the flesh of the whole world. God will pour out his spirit and send a worldwide revival. It's going to happen. How do you know? You say, I look at the church, and the church is not what it used to be, and this and that and that. Friend, you're looking at what is rather than what will be. You're looking at what your eyes say rather than what the Word of God said. He said, I'm going to have a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's going to be some old men that will say, like the man in the Bible, I'm not going to die until I see the promised Redeemer. There's going to be some old men say that I'm not going to die until I see revival that I dreamed of all of my life. It's not going to end until there are some young men with vision that said this revival is going to be bigger than any generation has ever known. It's not going to end until some teenagers begin to prophesy to the wind and say, I am going to be used of God against all odds. I've never gone to seminary. I'm not trained, but I do know who Jesus is, and I know what he's done for me, and I want to prophesy what he's done for me. He will do for this world, praise God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus wraps up the book this way. I just love this. In the book of Revelation, and I beheld a great multitude. Friend, does it look like the church is going to be extinct and go out of business? He said, I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number. Of all nations, friend, there is a kingdom where gender doesn't matter and nationality doesn't count. I don't believe in white supremacy. I believe in church supremacy. The church of the living God is the greatest entity in this world. And if you are in God's church, you are the greatest creation that God has got of all nations. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. He said, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that we're living in perilous times, but you ought to be shouting louder than you've ever shouted. You ought to be praising stronger than you've ever praised. You ought to be glorifying greater than you've ever glorified. You ought to have more faith than you've ever had. You ought to be sharing your testimony with more people than you've ever shared it with in your life. And you ought to define yourself and say, wait just a minute, am I a dreamer? Am I a visionary? Or am I a prophet? Oh, we like to put prophets up
and in the pulpit and say, this man is a prophet, like everybody else in the kingdom of God is just sauerkraut. You don't matter. We got one prophet among us. That's not what God said. These signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't matter who's bringing the sermon or who's singing the song. When you've got a house full of dreamers, a house full of visionaries, a house full of people that will prophesy at a drop of a hat and throw it down their cell, it don't matter who's in the pulpit. Blind eyes are going to open. Dumb ears, dumb tongues are going to speak, deaf ears are going to hear, lame limbs are going to begin to be unfurled, things are going to begin to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a unique people with a unique opportunity. We are not bound by denominationalism. We are not harnessed by religion. Praise God. We are a free people in this church. We have an amazing facility. We have an amazing location. We have an amazing praise and worship. But we are setting on a powder keg that it can explode and throw us into every corner of this city. Praise God. All we need is old men that won't quit dreaming and young men that are visionaries and sons and daughters that will begin to prophesy everywhere they go. And what's going to happen? He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh in the city of San Antonio. Stand on your feet and give God some praise. Oh, hallelujah. Shitanolokosotolobodiha. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. There ought to be some old men and old women to come to this altar tonight and say, God, let my dream live again. You said, well, you offend me by calling me old. Everybody's too sensitive. It don't matter what anybody calls you. If you're over 50 or 60, you're old. Nothing wrong with being old. All you got to do is add a B to old and now you're bold. All you got to do is add a G and now you're gold. There ain't nothing wrong with being old. The last 5 years of your life could change the world. Hallelujah. We need some young people in this altar that say, I've got a vision of this church filled with people, not on Sunday, but 7 nights a week, where we've got 10 or 15 pastors preaching because they simply can't preach all the preaching that has to be done. We need some visionaries. We need some young kids, boys and girls, sons and daughters that say, I am ready to prophesy to the wind until it comes a reality in my life. If you think flying to Washington and speaking to the White House is going to save this nation, your intention is good, but your effort is wasted. Going to the White House is not going to do it, folks. It's going to start in a church house. It's not going to start in a ballot box. It's going to start in the altar. It's going to start in your heart, where you say, hey, God's looking for somebody, and I'm somebody. Here I am, God. Here I am, God. Oh, you don't have to be degreed and educated. God just picks up Simon Peter, that's a fisherman, says he'll do. Praise God. Just anybody will do. Just any old body will do. God don't care whether you're a man or woman. God don't care whether you're black or white or brown. God don't care whether you're young or old. God's got a place for you. God's ready to plug you in. God's ready to plug you in. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Are you available? God said, I'm looking for you.